listening to the Lifted Life Podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. It's episode 66 of the Lifted Life Podcast, and today we're talking to you about this wonderful news. The news is this. You don't have to like me.
But I have to like me.
Yeah, but that's the great news. If you can let other people off the hook for liking you, then your whole life can evolve. But until then, you're a prisoner.
Sounds kind of cliche, but I think it's probably one of the more powerful things I thought about recently is that topic.
Well, here's the thing. We're taught to be nice to other people. Be nice. Be kind. Be nice. And then what happens is...
Well, on some level, you need acceptance too, right? You need the pack to accept you so you can survive.
Really. Right. And like I said, that idea of being kind and being nice, we're not saying don't be kind to other people and be a jerkwad. I don't think that's what we're saying at all, hopefully.
Yeah, that usually gets misconstrued, I think, with that. Is because when you say people don't have to like you, I think people assume that means you can do whatever you want because you don't care what they think.
Right.
But that's not what we're saying.
Right.
That's not what you're saying.
And I just suddenly had an aha, but I haven't really thought it out. So sometimes when this happens, it doesn't always come out. But you don't have to care how other people think about you. Well, I was going to say, but you want to be considerate of how they feel. But that's a whole nother rabbit hole, right? Because then when you start trying to control how other people feel, then you're that same prisoner.
Yeah.
So let's go back to this idea that you don't have to like me because I like me. From that place, I'm a much kinder person anyway. It's just more about living life on my own terms and prioritizing what's important to me rather than becoming this people pleaser.
I think it's an attractive feature is when you like yourself, people can't help but to like you because that's an attractive energy. It's like seeing someone act that way. It's like, but I want to be a part of that.
Yeah. And I think that the most evil things that happen come from someone who doesn't love themselves or like themselves at all.
Yeah.
So when we come from this place of, okay, you're off the hook for liking me because I like me. From that place, I'll pursue what matters to me. I'll know that I'm in charge of my own happiness and my own life experience. Everyone else is off the hook and I can pursue whatever it is that interests me. From that place, I'll be much kinder to other people. And I'll be much brighter of a light in this world, right?
Yeah, I think the net is actually better because when you like yourself and other people can see that, you end up being kinder to them and then they end up being kinder and you end up netting a better situation for everybody.
So for me, when it comes up thinking about people pleasing, which I often quote my coach, Brooke Castillo, I went through her coach training several years ago, and she said people pleasers are liars. And I like to bring that up because it makes everybody just kind of do a little grimace. And I think it's important to note what that means and also to then embrace how you stop lying to yourself and others, stop people pleasing. And I think it's really about boundaries,
because a people pleaser would put someone else's well-being above themselves. Is that true?
Not their well-being necessarily, just their opinions or preferences. So there's something you want to do, but someone has expressed there's something very different they want to do, and you continually bend and pretend like it's not a problem or have the difficult conversation, don't have healthy boundaries in place, then...
It makes you a liar to yourself or to your own.
Yeah, and you become resentful, frustrated, all those unhealthy emotions that if we keep them stuck in the body and don't express them and don't, you know, talk about them. So I think this starts with... Typically in childhood, for many people, they want to be loved and accepted, and it becomes known that, oh, if I act this way, then I'm much more lovable. And then it grows into our relationships with friends and intimate relationships. So we start to do this people-pleasing thing, thinking that we're helping them when really we're creating such a difficult relationship because it's impossible to continue that. So you're... To continue lying to yourself. That's why I don't lie. I always say I don't have a good enough memory. You have to keep track of all your facts. So when you're lying to yourself, you either have to keep track of what you've been lying about. You see how it just gets so complicated. And so we think if we act this way, then so-and-so will love us. But then it becomes really complex because that person doesn't really know who you really are. It reminds me of one of my favorite movies, that I haven't seen in probably a decade that I should probably rewatch. Runaway Bride. She doesn't even know what kind of egg she likes, folks. Is it scrambled? Is it over easy? We don't even know what that means. So, if you don't know what kind of eggs you like, it's time to find out.
Well, to me, it's just it's a losing battle because you literally cannot control what other people do. And if you start you set your life up in that way where you really need people to do these things to be happy, to accept yourself, it's just a losing battle, or it's a very difficult battle, put it that way.
And why do you think, like, what do you think it comes from? I kind of mentioned that I think it comes from this desire to be loved and accepted.
Well, I think there's a primal level where you need the pack to accept you to survive. So there may be a point in time in our history where we needed groups of people to survive.
And so, we still do, actually, because loneliness is...
So you need to be accepted in the pack so you don't get pushed out, so you're not a prey.
So there's a belief, maybe, yeah, that if I am not... Okay, let me think about this. The belief might be, if I act like who I really am, I might be rejected or not accepted, and that could be deadly. So, right,
but I actually think it's the opposite. I think that's a very attractive energy, being yourself, being fully authentically yourself. I think that attracts people, actually. But
that's what you like about me.
Exactly. But there's a fear in there that what if it doesn't? What if it actually repels?
Right. Well, and like you said, many long, long time ago, it was a matter of being exiled or being eaten by wolves. And now we think, oh, we have our own homes. We have our own lives. We have the internet. We have grocery delivery. We don't have to have people like us. And yet loneliness is the new smoking. That's what I was going to say, but I didn't get it in. Hey, think about it. It's true. We are still very social beings. We need that connectivity. When someone tells me they've been experiencing symptoms of anxiety or depression, one of the things I turn to is, how is your social connection? Mm-hmm. It can be friends, family, neighbors, anywhere in between, colleagues, whatever. That connection to others, it's primal. We need it. It helps us to feel well. It's one of those core needs. So we're not at all saying that's not a core need anymore. We have the internet and grocery delivery. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying that the way to go about it is not to be fake and to be a chameleon and to try to make other people like you. I think the real work here is figuring out who you really are and then to go be it. I don't think we spend enough time asking ourselves, what kind of eggs do I like? That's a metaphor, because you may not even eat eggs, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. What kind of art do I like? What kind of music do I like? What kind of free time activities do I love? I think so often we don't say what we want because we don't think we'll get it. And then we just stay stuck in the cycle of, I don't know who I am because I've conformed for people to like me. And especially in this age of social media and seeing everyone's opinions, oh my gosh, the statistics of how many news items we saw like 60 years ago versus now, it's wild. We're constantly inundated with information. And if we don't take time and stillness to really reflect on who we are and what we want, I think it's really normal to be confused. I don't know what I want. I don't know who I am. But that's okay, because at any moment, you can stop and decide, I'm ready to like me. And you don't have to. You're off the hook. But here's what I really like.
I feel like once you lean into that, I like myself, I feel like that scariness of, what if I'm rejected, goes away. Mm. Like, once you kind of really lean into it.
That's it. That fear of rejection. Like, so often with business, with me wanting to pursue a business, which I always love to say that Lifted was an overnight success that only took 10 years of entrepreneurial failure.
Yeah.
With a business, you have to be willing to look a little bit foolish, because it is outside the norm. If you post on social media, got a new job, 85 likes, 72 comments, good job, great. So, if you post on social media, you started a new business, everyone's kind of crickets. Oh no, they're going to sell to me. And it's just kind of this different energy.
But even for me, like, Lifted had been going well for 2 years when I quit my, what I call the W-2 job, when I quit my normal job. I don't know what to call it.
Your job as an engineer at a brewing company.
When I walked away from that, that was somewhere there was this deep down fear of what if we fail and what will I have to say to those people? Mm-hmm. What will they think of me if I come back and in my head was like a month and say, oh, well, I messed up. Yeah. Has it been a month or 2 months? Feels like it's been 2 years, but that was one of my fears was, will they accept me as a failure? And then finally I realized, A, we're not going to fail, but B, even if we fail, like that doesn't change anything about me. I'm still me. I'm still the person.
Or I could even challenge the belief that when you had the desire to try something and you didn't,
that's actually more painful than, yeah,
that's failing to try. And I've heard this so many times that when you challenge your kids to think of failure differently, as failure is failing to try. And true failure doesn't even exist, because everything is either a blessing or a lesson. And yeah, I think that it's so valuable to take a look at this idea of rejection, because you don't have to like me because I like me does require a self-love and a self-acceptance that puts other people's judgment and rejection to the side and say, that might be true. They might be judging me or rejecting me. But the most important thing is, am I judging me or am I rejecting me? And you can always choose to love yourself a little bit more, a little more self-compassion, kindness, and really reevaluating how you look at failure.
But it's always an inside game, right? So even if they're judging you and rejecting you, it's something internally going along with them, mm-hmm. not with you.
Right. This is true. All right, let's take a quick break, and we will thank our sponsor. It's us, y'all. We're the sponsor. Today so I'm talking generous. About, yeah, I know. Today I'm talking about Mood Super Strains. It is our top probiotic with no prebiotic, just probiotic. And I often recommend this one for people who need to get things moving, if you know what I mean. Don't spit out your water. I always like to use the really classy terms, like when you need to go or keep things moving.
Nothing? These days, I'm used to the potty talk.
No, I keep it classy. Anyway, Mood Super Strains is the probiotic with no prebiotic. Here's what's tricky. Everyone thinks, okay, prebiotic is fiber and fiber makes you go. That's not actually true. For some people, fiber can be binding. And also for some people, that prebiotic fiber can just be disruptive and too much too fast. And so what's really great about this probiotic is that it's just probiotic, no prebiotic. And here's a really great 5-star review that we got on it. Within a week, my mood and digestion improved tremendously. I was much calmer and it restored my belly to optimum condition, which after needing to be on antibiotics for 2 weeks was totally wrecked. I'd recommend this product to everyone, particularly those who have nervous issues that tend to manifest themselves in the digestive system. It restored gut-brain to harmony.
Haha. That's really nice.
That's really nice. So when you take time to leave a review, we do a little happy dance. And we always try to give good review karma too, right? What did you just do the other day? Reviews for your soccer shoes?
Yeah, that and our phone plan. We upgraded our phone plan and they asked me to leave a review. I'm like, oh, we'll do it.
From the guy that talked your ear off?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. Okay, so yeah, take a moment to check out Mood Super Strains if you haven't already. You can go directly to our website or over on Amazon if you're already paying for that Prime. We know the game. Just make sure you're buying it from Lifted Naturals. That's us. All right, so back to the show. Today, I like to recap sometimes because we just throw a bunch of information at people and then it's like, what are we talking about, Vern?
Well, we always hit the show running because we've kind of did a little pre-talk, kind of get ourselves primed, and we kind of jump in. And I feel like sometimes we hit the ground running and people are like, whoa, what are they talking about? Where did they start from?
Maybe. But I also, as I mentioned in a post the other day, that we don't talk about the show too much. Like, we talk about it just enough that, like, we get that look in each other's eyes. Like, can we talk about this for 20 minutes?
But we had the momentum started, I think.
Right.
We're not in the blocks. We're already coming out of the blocks for right. You
tracksters. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was a sprinter. I still am. Not in the traditional sense, but as a metaphor.
I was the long distance runner because there was nowhere else to put me.
Oh. Okay. So today we're talking about the great news that other people don't have to like you. They are totally off the hook for that. But you are not off the hook, my friend. It is your job to like, love, and cherish yourself and to figure out who you really are and what kind of eggs you like.
But I see this concept is so liberating. It sounds so simple. And I think I called it cliche before, but it is liberating if you really just sit with it and think about it. Like, think about all the things you go through in a day, and you're like, oh, if I do this, I might get judged this way, this way, this way. But if you can let that go, mm-hmm. and it's probably not going to be one day, right? You're probably just going to let certain things go. Like,
or what we practice is what we get good at. Right. So if you start practicing this concept today.
I'm trying to think of something real simple that you could just let go that you would, that doesn't really matter either way. Like, think of a simple one. All I can think about is eggs and running stoplights. I don't know why those two are in my head, but
like if someone's judging. Oh, perfect. Let's go back to the entrepreneur thing. So I post on social media about, I make a video of myself.
Yep.
Hey, I'm talking today about our four different probiotics. What makes them different? How are they the same? Tune in, right? And I know that everyone from high school, my high school teachers, neighbors that are like, what is she do? What are they doing over there? He doesn't even go to work anymore. Yeah. Okay, right? Yeah, so yeah, like yeah. I'm doing these videos and I'm putting myself in the spotlight. I'm literally begging people to judge me. I've got people talking about my toes and my feet.
Yeah.
I've got people saying weird stuff. And mm-hmm. I know that. But that's okay. They can judge me. They don't have to like me. They can think what they want. They don't have to like me because I like me. I think having that ability to get over that hump of judgment, that fear of judgment, or that even the knowing. Like, I dance with the judgment. I'm mm-hmm. imagining the stories like I just voiced out. I think that's the example that I've continually lived in, that I've invited you into mm-hmm. with this journey of entrepreneurship, to say, hey, what do you say? We don't care what anybody else thinks of us. Even our parents or our family, that they're confused or they wouldn't ever do what we're doing. Let's write our own story and let's have a blast doing it, knowing that we're living in our truth, and they will judge us or be confused, but that's okay, because the more we step into our truth, the more our life will align and we'll be able to create exactly what we want to create, but only if we're willing to be clear on it.
But what happens when you do that is, what I was trying to say is, it's so liberating because, A, you let go of all this worry and this baggage that you've been carrying with you, worrying about what people think of you, when I do this, when I do that. But then there's this lovingness that opens up, and it's a non-judgmental way of seeing other people and seeing how they operate and realizing that.
I would say loving awareness is not judging.
Yeah. It feels a little bit judgmental, but it's hard to explain. But like,
you just, my heart, but, it's growing.
Yeah. But you realize that they're just being them. And it's not necessarily judgmental, actually. In most cases, they're judging themselves through you.
Right. Yeah. It's totally true. And I think that
makes sense.
I think so. Yeah. It's the mirror, that the only reason they would judge it is because they don't know how they would do it. Like, they wouldn't want to do it.
What I'm trying to say is, when you do this, you actually end up having more empathy for people than you did before.
When you do what?
When you love yourself, when you care about yourself. It sounds selfish, and it sounds like when all you do, if all you do is love yourself, then how can you love others? Well, you can't give what you don't have.
Right. And I think what we're kind of going back to that very intro thing I said is that we are conditioned mm-hmm. to some extent to be likable. Like, oh my goodness, all of these friends were talking nice about that everybody likes this person, and like this idea of wanting to be liked. And what happens when you want to be liked but you don't feel like you get it is you start to be a transformer. You start to be a chameleon. You stop being who you really are and say, what would I need to do to be liked? And I think that years and years of that conditioning is how you get into this problem. But that's okay. Recognizing that this is a problem is the first step, bringing that awareness to it. Oh my gosh, I don't even know who I really am. I've been conforming to the needs and desires of others so that I would be liked. All for what? Have you noticed that if you spend your whole life being liked, you just end up miserable? Like, that's the big aha of this episode, is that if you've been doing this, transforming and chameleoning yourself just for the approval of others, you're probably not really happy with where you are. And this show is an invitation to reevaluate who you really are, what you really like, and then to like run towards that with wild abandon, because that is how you elevate your life emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. That's what the Lift to Life podcast is all about. What were you gonna say? You got something else?
Yeah, I'm still thinking about a small step I can do in that direction.
Well, I think that you journal a lot, so mm-hmm. a perfect opportunity to be like, as you journal, like, what do I really love doing?
I think I'm gonna lean towards social situations. I think I find myself sometimes in social groups, people telling a story, and it's natural to want to tell a similar story. So you get that similarity, so they can accept me. Mm. And a lot of times, I find myself telling a story that
no one even cares about. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, it's not untrue, but it's very similar to their story, so they can see similarities and they'll like me, maybe.
Right, but instead, I think that...
I think I'm not going to tell a story.
Or you could just be such a good listener of their story and ask...
present. Yeah,
and listen. Yeah, and ask a question that, like, you can actually learn something new from their story mm-hmm. or see it a new way. I think asking questions when you hear a story instead of thinking about what your next story is going to be, which we've all done it. It's not like you're the only one. Like, everybody loves to share their
story. Whenever I hear new information that's valuable, I always try to apply it in my life. How can I use this?
All I'm thinking of is when people tell stories about their kids. I'm like, hey, my kid.
No, I'm talking about the topic of our podcast. I know, not but a
when
story.
You said socially,
yeah.
I immediately went to hearing people talk about their kids. And we recently had a parent-teacher conference with one of our kids' teachers. And I was like, this is the best, because for the next 45 minutes or however long the conference was, all we're going to do is talk about my kid. And I love talking about my kid, but I'm always trying to be like, oh, let's talk about your kid. But that's not even the point of this. Yeah. So anyways, when you hear someone telling a story, I think the egoic mind wants to go to, I had that happen to me or something like that's me too. And instead of going into that space, opening yourself up to what could I learn from this? How can I support this person and this story? I think a really good question is always a good way to do that. Does that apply to what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
What you're saying was true. When I journal, it's easy to think about all the good things that I appreciate about myself and the things that I do well. And it's easy to go through those lists and kind of get in that energy. But when I get out in public, sometimes I feel like that's when I need that acceptance. That's when I like maybe do something that's not necessarily aligned with me so I can be accepted. Mm. And an example I can think of is a story where someone's telling a story and the whole time I'm trying to build a story to go with their story so they can accept me when I tell my story. Mm. And maybe that's what I'm going to do.
But I think when you go into that party mm-hmm. and you love yourself and you know that you don't need anyone else to... Yeah. Like when you just that energy you bring in is like, if I connect with someone, it's because it's fun. It's because it's socially enjoyable, but not for their approval. Mm-hmm. I think that's that big step we're talking about is when I love and approve of myself, I let everyone else off the hook.
Yep.
And I like to tell stories too, but it's just because, like I said, I get excited and I like storytelling. And so I do what you're doing, but not because I want them to like me, mostly because I like them to laugh sometimes. So there's that. But even I think we all have something to learn from that idea of why do we feel that need to do that. But when you go into a situation with that loving awareness of yourself, the approval and compassion towards yourself, then it's everyone else is off the hook. And I think that's the beautiful thing about this episode is letting everyone else off the hook. This is your job and you've got this. I know it. All right, everyone. I think that's a wrap for this week's episode. We appreciate you listening to the Lived a Life podcast. If you haven't already, a rating and review goes a really long way on the podcast, wherever you listen to it. And have a great week, and we'll see you next week.